Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with the message today, I'm going to be preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning around verse 17 and 18. And this is the second part of a series of messages entitled The Power and the Wisdom of God. This is part 2. If you missed last week, I urge you to order the message. We offer our messages free of charge, and you can get them on, you can listen to them on the internet, or you can get them on DVD or CD. But this, I'm talking about how the gospel, which is called in verse 17 or verse 18, the gospel in verse 18, the preaching of the cross, how. And that's the preaching, not just of a symbol, but it's talking about the glorious person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. And so who is Jesus Christ? What did he accomplish? And in that truth, we see the power and the wisdom of God. As I mentioned last week, and Romans 1, 16 and 17, Paul calls the gospel the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And he says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The preaching of the cross is the same as the preaching of the blood of Christ, his death. By his death, sinners are saved. By his blood, which means his death. And the preaching of his death, the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the blood, all the same thing, that's the same as the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, Romans 1:17. And what that means is that this, when Christ died on the cross, what did he accomplish? Who is he? He's God in human flesh without sin. He died under the wrath of God justly based upon the sins of his people. Imputed. You've heard that term imputed. That means charged, accounted to him, reckoned to him. The book of Isaiah 53 talks about that. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's all his people now, not all without exception. And I mentioned this last week. The preaching of the cross, the preaching of the gospel, doesn't preach one who died to make salvation possible for you if you do your part. That's not grace. That's salvation conditioned on you, not on Christ alone. The Bible preaches, the gospel preaches, the preaching of the cross is that all of the conditions of the salvation of God's people were put upon Christ. And when he died on that cross, he fulfilled all the conditions and brought forth an everlasting righteousness, which actually demands and ensures the eternal salvation and life of his people. There'll be no one in hell for whom Christ died. You say, well, what should I do? You seek the Lord. How do you know for whom he died? They believe. He said, look at verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness. You know, when I preach the gospel, how do you react to it? But unto us which are saved or are being saved, it is the power of God, the preaching of the cross. In the hands of the Holy Spirit, it's the power of God to those who are being saved. And he says in verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. That's the worldly wise, not wise in the things of God. Paul told Timothy, he says, he talked about the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. When he says he destroys the wisdom of the wise, he's not talking about the wisdom of God here, by which God the Holy Spirit makes sinners wise unto salvation. He's talking about worldly wisdom. There are some wise people on this earth who are unbelievers, even atheists. They're wise in finance. They may be wise in government and politics. They're wise in international affairs. They're wise in physical health, wise in a lot of ways. But they're not wise naturally in the things of God. Remember last week I made mention how I'm leading up to 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man as he is naturally born, woman as she is naturally born, fallen in Adam, ruined by the fall, spiritually dead, totally depraved, all the flesh, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He has to be made wise unto salvation. And he says he will bring, in verse 19, he will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That's the intelligent. They know a lot of things. They may know math. They may know physics. They may know brain surgery. They know a lot of things. But they don't know God. They don't know Christ. They don't even know themselves. Who am I according to the Word of God? Well, there's only two types of people on this earth. You're either a sinner lost in your sins, or you're a sinner saved by the grace of God. And there is no salvation any other way but by God's grace through the cross of Christ, which is His righteousness imputed to people, His people. And where His righteousness is imputed, He always gives life. He always gives faith to receive Him. And He always brings them to glory. The preaching of the cross is the preaching of a finished work. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, that's the cross, His offering of His body on the cross, His blood, His death, by one offering, He, Christ, hath perfected, finished, completed forever them that are sanctified. Who are they who are sanctified? They who were set apart by God and given to Christ, and for whom He died, was buried, and arose the third day. And that's the preaching of the cross also includes the preaching of the resurrection. If a person preaches the death of Christ without preaching the resurrection of Christ, he has not preached the cross of the Bible. And if your Savior is still hanging on that cross, that's why I don't like crucifixes. It's got the picture of Jesus hanging on. It's not Jesus there. Nobody knows what He looked like. His cross led to His resurrection because in His cross, He established righteousness that demands life for Him and for His people. Christ as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of His people. And God gave Him a people before the foundation of the world. And He said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Somebody says, well, then it doesn't matter. If I come to Him and I wasn't one whom God gave Him, He won't receive me. Oh, no. Listen to it. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Those who truly come to Him, as He's revealed and identified and distinguished in the Word of God, will never be turned away because God gave them to Him before the foundation of the world. And He died for them. He established righteousness for them. We'll look back at verse 20. This is 1 Corinthians 1. He says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Now, a scribe was an interpreter of the law. Where is the disputer of this world? The debaters, the arguments. Well, where are they in the scheme of things? That's what he's saying here. We're in the pecking order. Well, in the eyes of men, they're way up there. They're the best of the best. They're the leaders, religious, political, all of that. But here's what he says in verse 20. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Now listen. When it comes to the things of God, you know, it always amuses me in politics that when movie stars, celebrities, give their opinion. And people act as if that carries some weight. Well, let me tell you something. That, to me, that would be like the king listening to the court jester on matters of state. What was a court jester? He was there to entertain the king. He wasn't there to advise the king in politics and international affairs, in diplomacy. And these movie stars, I mean, I get entertained by them. I see a good movie, a good act, but I don't care what he thinks about the president or the Congress or politics. I don't care what he thinks about it. His view is no better than mine. And yet people will follow them. And that's what he's talking about here. The wisdom of the wise. Where is the scribe? Where is the... God's made foolish the wisdom of the world. When it comes... Listen. A person may be as smart as Einstein. And that's okay in things of the world. But when it comes to the things of God and a right relationship with God and how God saves sinners, there's dumb as the dumbest person on earth, naturally. Unless God has given them the knowledge, unless God has revealed it to them and opened their eyes and their ears to see the things of the Spirit of God, they have no more weight in their views. Somebody says, well, this is what I think. Well, who cares what you think? What does the Word of God say? That's what we need. And then look at verse 21. He says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world by wisdom. Worldly wisdom, no matter how high it goes, will not get a person to God. You see, this is what I call reasoning from the ground up. In other words, in the Bible, it goes something like this, where God said, you thought I was altogether one such as yourself. You thought God was like you. I've often said on this program, you know, that this is why people are so ignorant and they misinterpret, even people who call themselves Christian. They're so ignorant of and they're so confused about God's love and God's hatred. And they'll say, well, God loves everybody and God doesn't hate anybody. Well, my friend, the Bible, you know, as much as you hate to hear this, you may hate to hear this, as much as you may think this is foolishness, the Bible will not support you on that stand. The reason you think God loves everybody and hates nobody is because you think everybody deserves God's love just because God created them, and you think nobody deserves God's hatred. But you're wrong. The Bible says that God hates people. Yes. The problem you have with that is that you equate God's love, God's hatred and God's love with your hatred and your love, or my hatred and my love. You see, my hatred, when it comes from the flesh, is sinful. It's wrong. It usually comes out of my selfishness or my self-righteousness. But God's hatred is not emotional, and it is not unfair, and it is not unjust. You know what God's hatred is? It is God's justice, His wrath against all to whom sin is imputed, to whom sin is charged. The Bible says God hates all workers of iniquity. It doesn't say God loves the sinner but hates the sin. It says in Psalm 5, God hates all workers of iniquity. Well, aren't we all workers of iniquity? Then how can God love any of us? Well, here's the power and the wisdom of God. If God loves any sinner, any worker of iniquity, there must be a way that God can justly look at that person as being not a worker of iniquity. Now, how is that possible? There's only one way. Here's the power and the wisdom of God. It's the preaching of the cross. You see, in Isaiah 53, it says, the Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. The all there is not all without exception, but it's all for whom Christ died. Their iniquity, their sins were imputed, charged to Christ, and His righteousness has been imputed, charged to them. And when God looks upon them, He doesn't see them as workers of iniquity. He doesn't, that means, now that doesn't mean God pretends or God fakes it. It doesn't mean that God looks at us as if we're something we're not. It means that God does not charge His people with iniquity. Now, doesn't the Bible teach that? Over in the book of Romans, listen to this. This is Romans chapter 8. And listen to what it says here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 33. Listen to this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now, who are those to whom God does not charge with iniquity? Whom God does not charge with sin? His elect. He chose them in Christ before the foundation of the world. And who are the elect? All who come to faith in Christ. That's who the elect are. Not just the Jews. It's Jew and Gentile who believes in Christ. Those who are being saved in 1 Corinthians 1. And look at, and what is the basis upon which God does not charge them with their sin? What is the basis upon which God justly imputes righteousness to them? Well, look at verse 34 of Romans 8. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. There's the power and the wisdom of God, the preaching of the cross, the preaching of his death, burial, and resurrection, his righteousness. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You see, Christ intercedes for his people, all for whom he died. And there's where we find the love of God, in Christ. Outside of Christ, there's nothing but God's wrath. Outside of Christ, there's nothing but righteous indignation. Outside of Christ, there's nothing but God's hatred, which is his just wrath against all to whom sin is imputed. And how you know that's the love of God? Well, look at Romans 8 and verse 35. He says, therefore, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's God's elect, all for whom Christ died. That's who God loves. And he goes on, you read the rest of that chapter, and nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians 1. So he says in verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How does God save his people? In the power of the Holy Spirit through the preaching and hearing of the gospel. Over in the book of Romans again, you can look at chapter 10. Chapter 10 speaks of how the Jews, how they would refuse to believe because it crossed their natural religious human wisdom. But here he says, verse 12 of Romans chapter 10, listen to this. He says, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, the Jew and the Gentile. In other words, as far as the issue of sin is concerned, now, my friend, listen to me. The Bible recognizes that there's a lot of differences between people. You take a person who is ultra religious, but who's in false religion. And then you take a person who is just totally irreligious and immoral. There's a big difference between those two. You take a person who just has no respect for the laws of the land. No respect for others and the possessions of others. No respect for themselves. And take a person who's a religious pillar of the community. There's a big difference there. But when he says there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, what is he talking about? He's talking about one specific area. And that is salvation. And how a sinner is made right with God. When it comes to that, there's absolutely no difference. I'll give you an example of that. Look at Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle, before he was converted. He was an ultra sincere, dedicated, religious man. Well, look at the thief on the cross who was saved in the last hour of his life. He was an immoral person, a thief. But when it comes to salvation, how God makes sinners righteous, there's no difference between Saul of Tarsus and the thief on the cross. If either one of them would be saved, it was going to be by grace, through the righteousness of another, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at Romans chapter 10 there, verse 12. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Now remember, last week I talked about how we're leading up to 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receiveth the things of the Spirit of God. What he's saying there is man by nature will not call upon the Lord. Not the true Lord. Now men will call upon an idol, a god of their imagination. But they, if left to ourselves, we will not call upon the Lord. That's the natural man. But he does say this, verse 13 of Romans 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is that which identifies and distinguishes him. It's not just looking up in the sky and calling upon Jesus. You know there are counterfeit Christ. How do you know the one you're calling upon? When you go to church on Sunday, how do you know that you're going to praise and worship the true Christ of the Bible and not a counterfeit? Does that sound foolish to you? Oh, I wouldn't even think that we could be calling upon a counterfeit Christ. Really? You better check it out with the Scripture. Christ said in the last days there'll become many who say Jesus is here, Jesus is there. Don't listen to them. He said they're trying to deceive you. They're deceived themselves. And remember, I told you, it's the glorious person and the finished work of Christ. Well, look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? The calling is the calling of faith, not the calling of, it's out of desperation, but it's a faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? The natural man won't hear. He has to be given ears to hear and eyes to see. You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, the preaching of the cross. Peace by the blood of his cross, his righteousness that was accomplished in his death and his burial and his resurrection. How beautiful are them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, but they've not all obeyed the gospel. Some obeyed and some haven't. Why did some obey and some didn't? Were the ones who obeyed better people than the ones who didn't? No. It's all attributed to the sovereign grace and power and wisdom of God. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So back over in 1 Corinthians 1:21, he says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now that's not the preaching of foolishness. There are a lot of preachers today who preach, but they preach foolishness. But when he talks about the foolishness of preaching, he's talking about how the world looks at the preaching of the cross. How the world looks at the preaching of that message, which in essence is the power and the wisdom of God. And so he says in verse 22, he says, for the Jews require a sign. They're looking for signs. Many people today are looking for signs. The Greeks or the Gentiles seek after wisdom, worldly wisdom. They want debates, arguments, opinions. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as a finished work that wrought forth righteousness for his people to ensure their salvation, unto the Jews a stumbling block. Here's the Jew trying to establish a righteousness of his own, and he trips over the preaching of another righteousness that he had no part in producing. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. It's foolishness. It just doesn't make sense to them. I've had people say, well, if I believe that, there'd be more people lost than saved. That's not your business. Your business is to see the Word of God. And so he says in verse 24, now here's the believer. Here's the one who has been born again of the Holy Spirit. He says, but unto them which are called, that's the effectual, powerful calling, called unto salvation, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, called both Jews and Greeks. He says, Christ, the power of God, Christ, the wisdom of God. Now, I'm going to expound upon those verses next week in more detail. And I want to show you some more scripture that applies to them. But those who are called, you know, the Bible teaches there are two callings. There's a general call that comes in many forms, which man, if left to himself, he'll reject. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. And then there is what we call the effectual, the invincible calling of the Spirit. And so what happens when the Spirit brings a person under the preaching of the true gospel, not a false gospel, but the true gospel, he gives that person life from Christ. That's regeneration. That's that quickening in Ephesians chapter 2. And he brings that person to see things that he didn't see before, to love and believe and submit to the things of God in Christ, who Christ is, his righteousness, what he accomplished as the ground of my whole salvation. And he sees that Christ is the power of God, the dynamite of God, and Christ is the very wisdom of God in his person and in his finished work. And that's the calling of God, the power and the wisdom of God. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.